Psalms, chapter 1, first 6 verses.
Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners' take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, when whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
I take it kind of easy coming up the steps. Maybe I hadn't been around quite as long as Charlie has, but, you know, have a few miles on me, those Franklin County miles, and Roanoke County and Floyd County and so on. Appreciate you inviting me to come this morning, and thank you for a wonderful opening. I know Jerry quite well. I knew him long before he ever came to be pastor over here. I pastored his home church for about 11 years, totally, and he's a good man. I'm sorry he's sick and in the hospital, and I hope and pray that he'll soon be back out with you and doing the thing that he loves to do. The psalmist is talking here. Now, the version that I will refer to, since I studied by that one, is a little different from this one, but I'm studying from the King James, which the wording is just a little different. The meaning is exactly the same. We are looking in that chapter, and the joys and the godliness will be found in the words of the psalmist. It is also referred to, as you go over to the book of Luke, and the book of Acts, they refer back to the writing there in the first chapter of Psalms. With a person so experienced at being a shepherd boy, working out on the hills with his sheep and the shepherd's job, he knew the joys of sorrow. No doubt he saw every now and then one of the little lambs being caught up and dragged away. He knew that to be godly, you're fulfilling what God is expecting of each one of us. God intended for his people not to sin. God never intended us for to treat our people the way we do today. God told us that we would pay for our sins, and unless we changed our sinful practices, we would die in our sins, and we would be separated from God in the end. So David wrote that we should sin not. So he wrote, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful," and so on. And then he talks about the misery of the wicked. Why do we think there are so many miserable people in our world today? Why do you think that bad things are happening to them? And many of them are miserable because of their wicked ways. Miserable because they do not know the Lord. They like indulging in sin. They like running around. The Bible tells us that there are people trying to live on both sides of the track, so to speak. They're trying to live for the world, and they'd like to think that a little good would run rub off on me if I go to church every so often. The Lord says you must serve either God or mammon. You cannot serve both at the same time. You will serve one or the other, and not both at the same time. You cannot serve God and mammon. I think we're trying to do that in our world. We're trying to live for the world. We also would like to show up at church every so often. We'd like people to think that we're good. You will hold on to one and love the other, or you cannot do both and do a good job at the same time. Parents, you have to be the example for the children. You also have to be disciplining your children for right. Somebody asked Billy Graham one time, said, how do you raise your children? He said, a Bible in one hand, a switch in the other hand. Well, now people don't do that no more. Not too much do we see either, in fact. But children, you are to bathe the parents in the Lord. But you know, parents, as you bring up your children, if you bring them up right, one day the scripture says they'll turn back and thank you for that. They'll give you praise. Bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Parents cannot expect their children to go to church if they don't go themselves. Just a fact. When they don't go to church themselves, it is giving the wrong example for the children. And when the children get older, they may not go themselves. You know, when we say things like I'm about to say now, it throws up a flag in our mind. Well, what's he talking about? But we're living in the last days. Now, what are the last days by definition? The time from the resurrection of the Lord to the second coming. That is the last days, and we're definitely living in the last days. There are wars, there are holy wars, if you please, wars caused by difference in opinion of our religion, of who we are, where we live, and what we do, and this type of thing. And we're having wars all over the world. And I can ask you, are they getting any better? I have my own opinion, and I don't think they are. Every sin that has ever been mentioned in the Bible have already been committed. And I suspect the reason we have the commandments of God called the Ten Commandments is because sin was first committed, and the Lord didn't want them to happen anymore, so he gave us some guidelines. But you know, sin is now coming to the front. People who used to do things that were no-nos, they used to do them in the dark, but now they're coming to the open. They're bragging about them. There is no shame. And David in the Psalms talks about the misery of the wicked. They're looking for joy and peace, and they can't find them because they're looking at the wrong place. Like the Easter egg hunting, if you hide the one under a rock or something and you know the child can't lift that big rock, he's not going to find that one. We're looking for joy and peace and satisfaction and love in our world, and the world has to turn back to the peacemaker himself in order to find it. And they will never find peace until they turn back to the peacemaker and repent of their sins. And then they can find peace of their mind and of their soul. We know that peace comes from the peacemaker, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and none other. David said, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. David knows these things long before the writing in the Psalms, because he was deeply involved and an affair with a lovely lady. He knows about the downfall, and he begged his way back to God, and he became a great king. The world has not gone too far if the church, Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, would get down on our knees. Things can happen yet in our world. So don't let your people give up. There is hope. As long as there is life, there is hope. If you have committed a sin that people look down on, they look with bad feelings toward you because of that sin, don't give up. Don't let a little sin destroy your life, your future, and your eternity. Don't let that little sin just because, well, it might be a big sin, but there's none too great for Jesus. Give it up. Restore yourself to the joy of your salvation. The congregation of the righteous. David was talking about God's people. The judgment David was talking about had to be the judgment day when it comes. The trial period. People will not have a chance if they're willing to continue living in sin for the devil. For God loveth the righteous. God will save his people. He promises you and me that if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be saved. Sometimes we put a great emphasis on the way we live, and we should. But no person has ever lived the perfect life yet but Jesus. He says all is sin and come short of the glory of God. And one day the Savior will become our judge. Then David said, the ungodly shall not stand, but they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, the little sins that get in our way of church sometimes in our spiritual life, they're not hidden from the Lord. They're out in the open. For God knows everything. He knows all about us. And the word says, even our thoughts before we think them. Now that's some wise God. You know, sin is not new. None of the sins that you hear about now, we say, oh, I've never heard of anything like that. They were there. As long as there have been people in the Garden of Eden, when man and woman was given a choice, they chose the exciting things. They chose to disobey God. Let's see what it's like on the other side. And we found out. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, God spoke and Moses answered with a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain and he went up. Now hear the reading of the word from the scripture, Exodus 19, 21 through 25. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also which come down to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai. For thou chargest us, saying, set bounds around the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people, and he spoke to them. He gave them the message. Now look, this is your guidelines. This is as far as you can come. Why was this done? Why did God call Moses and Aaron up to talk with them? What was the message? What's going on? As we move on, I want us to listen to the words of these verses. The Lord said to Moses, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the house of bondage. It is time for you to have some guidelines, brethren, because every imaginable sin has come before me, has been committed within the people called the people of Israel, God's chosen people. Every sin imaginable has been committed by these people. I've seen many persons fall from the pulpit, even in the churches today, because of temptations, because of sins, but that's not the end. Why did Jesus come? He didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. These are God's chosen people, the Israelites. I want to stop for a moment and just look at the church today. The same sins, different people, different generations, but the same answer is turn back to God. We have committed every imaginable sin. We have committed this even by church members. Yes. Brethren, you correct me if you think I'm wrong. I think we're relying too much on church membership as a paper that says I was baptized a certain day. We need to turn ourselves back to God. So Moses was called by God and he said, come a little closer. I want you to receive the tablets of stone. What's on them? They were commandments. And I want you to notice also something else. Excuse me. These weren't suggestions. God didn't say, Moses, I have a few suggestions for you. He said, I have commandments for you. Those people who were in service, I asked you a question when a superior officer told you something. Was it a command? Or was it a request? Sergeant, I'd like for you to go out and if you can and have time, would you go out and drive that truck back to the other side? Or did he say, Sergeant, take that truck. Go now. God didn't put it just like that, but he said they are not requests, they are commandments. Those of you who've been through those times of command, you know what a command is. Go with me back to the conversation of Moses and God. It looks as though that God took the sins of the people that he knew had been committed and he gave them a commandment not to do them again. He was very firm. These were commandments. God was ashamed of his people. How do you know? We'll go back and read the stories prior to the flood. He was so ashamed of his people, he said, it grieves me at my heart that I have ever created man. These are chosen people. And after the conversation or during the conversation of Moses and God on the Mount Sinai, the people were down in the valley making a golden calf and worshiping it. Is it surprising to you that The first of the commandments is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's not surprising when he found out that his people were down there worshiping idols. Well, now, we don't have the golden calf, but many times people don't go to church anymore because of the boat, of the game, or the car show, or a special meal that we're going over to. We're going to skip church today. Anything that we worship rather than worshiping God seemingly becomes a little idol to us. And God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. It was first on the list. If we break the commandments, we don't have respect for the rest of them, any of the others. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, in the likeness anything that is in heaven above, or earth beneath, or is in the water, or under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generations of them that hate him. Why shouldn't God be jealous? He was showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And I ask you, which is the worst sin? We have 10 recorded in the 20th chapter book of Exodus. Which one's the worst sin? Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. Well, these are not just requests. Thank you, neighbor. I appreciate that. I normally don't do this. I'm not one that sets a little jug beside me and has to take a little drink, but maybe I should. Thank you very much. Which is the greatest of these commandments? Appreciate it. As you look at the list, did you realize God's people has committed or broken every single one of these? Every single one? How are laws made? Why are they made, rather? I heard the other day, speed limit varies at various places, you know. School zone, it's 15 to 25 miles an hour. Down the business section, it's another speed. Out on the open highway around, it's 55. On certain parts of the interstate, it's 60. Other parts, it's 65. Round the corner, it's 70. And then it went on to list that some parts of the West is 85, and some of them might even be more. Why do they change laws? Because somebody's breaking them. I can't imagine having an 85-mile speed limit and somebody breaking that. The only thing I know you could break would be your neck. Israel had broken every single one of these from the list. They had betrayed God. You know, they still, after Moses came and brought the code of ethics and the code of laws and the rights and wrongs and so on, God said, I've got to send my son down to the world because people are not obeying the Mosaic law. But I want you in your leisure time to go back to the 20th chapter of Exodus and read those And what do they say? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not do this and that and the other. Does any single one of them say what you should do? Just read them. Think about that as you read them. But I want to jump on. Jesus came. I suppose as he looked back, he had to say, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he also referred to the commandments. He said, I came not to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill. You've got the commandments, but you don't know what to say. You don't know what to mean. You don't know how to deal with them. So it said, I came to show you what is right and wrong. Y'all might have to throw me out, but I don't know how long you have somebody up here. If I go too long, we'll raise a red flag. I came not to destroy the law of the prophets, but I came to fulfill and to give my life a ransom for many. Jesus' law was very, very tough. The law says thou shalt not kill. But Jesus says, I say unto you, if you're angry with your brother without a cause, you're as the same as a murderer. He says, the law says thou shalt not commit adultery, but if you look upon a woman as to lust after her, you have committed adultery already in your heart. The law was tough on the Israelites. If an adulterous man, a man committed adultery with a man's wife, even with a stranger, they were subject to be shot or killed. Well, they didn't use many guns then, but to be killed. That's how tough they were. Brethren, when we get down to what Jesus said about the Old Testament laws, Sabbath breaking is serious. The old law, Jesus said about that commandment, I came not to destroy it, but to fulfill and to give my life a ransom for many. If we know God and worship God, we need the Sabbath day, folks. We need the Lord's day. We need a day to rest, to pray, to be quiet. We go back on our words. Oh yeah, we baptize, we believe in being baptized, but we're not buying a ticket to heaven. We are intending to start the journey. And one day, we may get somewhere. Which is the most important of these commandments? They're all important. They go together. If you're going to take the rules of the state of Virginia and break them apart and say which one's most important, which one would that be? You can't separate them. It's the law. It's one thing. The Bible, the commandments of God, the things of Jesus Christ, it is not to be singled out, but it's to be kept. I came not to destroy the law, says Jesus, but I came to fulfill and to give my life a ransom for many. And he did just that. May we go to prayer. If you'll bow with me, please. Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day that you have given us. A day that we can visit with our friends and certainly worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the occasion. The Lord says, as we look around and see small groups of people in all of our churches anymore, Jesus calls everybody, but Many will be called, but few will be chosen. But we thank you for the faith of these faithful people of God. And we ask your blessings upon this church. And upon its pastor, we pray that you'll soon get him back with his people and bless these people as they work together for good, that people can win men for Christ through their efforts here. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's see, our song is Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. Okay. Stand, please. I think you'd want me to tell you that. Dismiss us, O Lord, with your blessings. Give us love, give us peace. May we go now in peace. May we share the gospel wherever we come in contact with other people. Help us to fulfill your mission, which is win men for Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.